Blog Talk Radio.
Shut up and sit down. Week 13,
including waiver wire pickups, handcuffs, fantasy MVPs, busts, everything else that you want to know about the week. So, Ryan, what do you think about our new lead-in music? How do you like that?
I'm digging it. It's a nice little change from the other show.
Yeah, I kind of thought so, too. I figured, you know, it was a brand new topic, brand new information, all sorts of new stuff. Might as well go with new music as well. So with that said, let's go ahead and get to the first segment of our show. We're going to talk about some waiver wire pickups, get your thoughts on who we think you should pick up in Week 13. Okay, so we're going to start first with Pierre Garçon, wide receiver, Washington Redskins. He's owned in about 32% of standard Yahoo leagues. He's an old name, and everyone knows him from his Indianapolis Colts days. And yes, it's true, he hasn't been a reliable fantasy football asset since those days as well. But Garçon has been averaging 6.5 targets per game throughout the season, and in 4 of his last 5 weeks, he's at least 6 receptions from 7 targets from Kirk Cousins. So the bottom line here is that he is being targeted consistently, and he is consistently catching his targets. And in Week 11, Garçon showed us his upside of 116 yards and a touchdown. And his floor, I think, will probably be around the vicinity of 7 of 9 for 78 yards, which he tallied in Week 13. Now, in my opinion, Ryan, I think he's a reliable wide receiver for a flex option in 14-team or deeper leagues. But give me your thoughts on Pierre Garçon. Is he somebody that you would pick up in a fantasy football league?
Yeah, so I actually the exact thing I have written down to his next to his name here is flex. Obviously, uh-huh. Wouldn't start him. You know, I have some exotic leagues. I have a league that he's been a starter all year, and not for me, but for another guy in the league because we have we have two flex options. So typically, you see people roll with 5 wide receivers in that league a lot. So in that role, you know, he could obviously start every week. But yeah, I think it's a flex option. I don't think it's as much as he's lost a step. I think it's more of a statement on just the amount of just how multifaceted that offense is and how many reliable guys you have with Robert Kelly out of the backfield, you know, a Crowder, obviously, and then, you know, DeSean Jackson on the outside and, you know, Reed when he can stay healthy, which is once a month. But, you know, so there's just, you know, a lot of mouths to feed on that offense. So, as a flex option, if you're desperate, sure. But I prefer to store them on the bench.
So that's an exotic league that you're on with the two flex options. Is that a PPR league or is that just standard?
It's a half-point PPR.
Okay. So that makes a little more sense to me because, quite frankly, you know, I think deeper leagues, you could probably use them as a flex option, 14 teams or deeper. But if you have a PPR or a half-PPR league, I think that, you know, he's averaging – 6 receptions per game over the last 5 weeks. So that's actually pretty good. You know, I mean, if you see that, then you're basically going to get yourself about 3 points without even any of the yards and, you know, with the upside of a TD. And I think that's something that you could definitely rely on in the flex position. I actually think that in a full PPR league that he might even be usable in a 12-team league or deeper. Do you have any thoughts on using him in more shallow leagues, particularly in PPR?
Yeah, I think in a PPR role, you could absolutely make a case for that because, like you said, I mean that's a guaranteed 6 points there, and if he catches a touchdown, then obviously you're having a great week. It obviously with any fantasy advice, it depends on you know just what kind of you know a league or what kind of you know what kind of settings you have going there.
Right.
So it just you know the other thing that makes him you know. Viable in that exotic league or the league that we have a ton of points and a ton of rules in. We have the 40-yard play bonus, and he only has one this year. But you know, that's a deep threat offense. So there's, you know, that if you're in a league with a 40-yard plus play, it does make him a little bit more viable, because there's always the chance for the Redskins that they're going to break one of those 60-yard touchdowns. So.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins is definitely not scared of throwing the ball downfield, that is for sure. So tell me, of the wide receivers, and actually just all the receiving options in Washington, rank them for me. How would you rank the receiving options in Washington right now for fantasy purposes?
Yeah,
let's go standard league.
I like Crowder one. I think he's their best, youngest playmaker. I'd go Garcon too, and I think DeSean Jackson is really, really, really bottom of the barrel at this point in his career. So I would put him three. If you're factoring in tight ends as far as receiving, I know it's not typical wide receiver. When Jordan Reed's healthy, I'd probably put him as the number one option on that team.
Yeah, I would definitely. If I had a flex position and I had a choice between Jordan Reed and any of those wide receivers, I would definitely play Jordan Reed if he was healthy. Now, what do you think about Vernon Davis? Because last week I suggested picking up Vernon Davis in Jordan Reed's absence. He's actually been productive even with Jordan Reed on the field. Do you have any thoughts on Vernon Davis? It's kind of like a, you know, if you really, really deep leagues, tight end necessary, you know, you don't have anybody, everybody's failing you type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I would say any league with, you know, as long as you're not playing in a lame 8-team league, if you're playing in a 10,
right.
10 team,
doesn't even qualify
10 team or more,
football, right? Yeah,
right. If you're playing in a 10-team league or more, I mean, absolutely roll the dice on Vernon Davis, because if not, what are the other guys you're rolling the dice on? Jack Doyle, Zach Ertz. You know, you're just if you're not one of the elite guys, you have one of the crap bags like everybody else. So you just kind of – at that position, it's always kind of a gamble. So play the matchup, and if Vernon, you think, has a good matchup, he's worth a play.
Yeah, I can say I like the floor of Vernon Davis better than all those guys you named, but I actually like the upside of Zach Ertz better, only because – I mean, his floor is very low. He could be zero, right? But, like, you know, if he gets hot, he can catch a touchdown. He can go – he has the skill set to go – I think he's better with Jordan Matthews on the field, actually. But a lot of people were predicting him to break out when Jordan Matthews was off the field. That didn't really happen. But I think he has the skill set to be an elite pass-catching tight end. And it's just a matter of that Eagles offense looks pretty horrific right now. But let's go ahead and – that's a good way to pivot here, actually, because I want to – talk about the Eagles offense next, and that's actually Paul Turner, wide receiver, actually 0% owned in standard leagues right now. Now, as you may remember, Nelson Aguilar was their kind of like what they were counting on to take a big step forward. He definitely did not take a big step forward this year. He took a big step back. Fell out of favor in week 12. Paul Turner was promoted from the practice squad. He made a lot of heads turn during the preseason. So people were actually interested in seeing what Turner could do. And he made his debut against the Packers. And what did he do? He did nothing. He put a big goose egg in the box score. He did play 23 of 59 offensive snaps, but that was basically it. However, with Jordan Matthews out of an ankle injury in week 13, Turner caught 6 of his 8 targets for 80 yards and actually had this very nice 41-yard catch and run. Basically, it was all on the ground. It had nothing to do with Wentz. And I think he's very notable now. I mean, he definitely has a skill set here who can be really good, particularly in light of the fact that Dorial Green-Beckham, you know, isn't very good and also may have a rib injury, and Jordan Matthews has not been 100%, and even when he was 100%, he hasn't been that great. So what are your thoughts on Paul Turner? Does he have any value at all in deeper fantasy football leagues, or are you willing to just scuttle the whole Eagles offense at this point?
Well, I'm very tempted to stay away from anything green in Philly right now. But right. I would in a really deep league, I would take a chance on him and put him, maybe store him on your bench this week if you're lucky enough that you don't have a playoff matchup this week, whether you're on a bye or you're just in a league with only 4 teams make the postseason.
I would
roll the dice and store him on the bench and hope that he has another good week and then you can start him next week. I wouldn't start him this week personally. I need to see it more than 1 week. But you know, in one of my leagues, you know, we're only a 12 team league, but with those additional flex positions and stuff, we're all rolling with between the IR slot and the bench spots. We have 18 spots on our roster, 12 teams. So
wow.
The top available receivers on our list right now are Eddie Royal, Jeremy Curley, and Marquise Lee. So if those are your other options,
wow,
then yeah, I rolled a dice on Turner.
Yeah, and you know, I think the thing is that he's kind of like lightning in a bottle, right? I mean, that's all you're really doing right now is trying to catch some lightning in a bottle. I agree. I wouldn't want to have to rely on him. I wouldn't feel comfortable with that. But I, you know, who knows? He's a lottery ticket that's willing, that could pop as the Eagles decide to wind down their season. I mean, they're clearly, in my opinion, they're out of it at this point. I don't know they're statistically eliminated, but I think they're basically out of it, and they should start auditioning some of these young guys and seeing what they have. Because, you know, if Paul Turner is nothing, I mean, clearly Nelson Agholor is not the answer. Clearly Dorial Green-Beckham is not the answer. Jordan Matthews might not even be the answer. You know, so you got to see what they got, because they got to start positioning themselves for the offseason and for the draft.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
All right, so let's move on to the next person we have on the list. And this one is an oldie but goodie in a way, because he really made tons of noise when he was over in San Diego, and that's Ladarius Green, tight end, Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, we all know during the offseason the Steelers acquired Ladarius Green, and there was a ton of hype over how good he could be, particularly in light of Heath Miller's retirement. But after getting put on the PUP with an ankle injury, he basically completely fell off the radar. Now, fast forward basically half a season forward, he gets off the PUP, he gets back onto the field, and what happens? He has three games in which he basically just totaled three receptions on 9 targets for 97 total yards. Totally looks like that the hype was completely misplaced. But then week 13 reels off 6 big-time catches, whopping 11 targets, career high, 110 yards and a touchdown, and he only played about 50% of the snaps. You know, you never know what's going to happen, but I like seeing the upside, and we all know what he could do. We saw what he could do in San Diego when Antonio Gates was out. And he was very productive there as a move tight end, as a pass-catching tight end. You know, what do you think about Ladarius Green going forward as a pickup in fantasy football?
Yeah, yes times a million. This is a guy who had this year, he had so far he has 11 catches for 207 yards. So this is a guy who basically when he catches the ball, he's getting 20-yard gains. So especially
yeah.
in PPR. You know, if he catches 3 balls a game, you know, you're talking 9 points right there if he doesn't even find the end zone. So I'm yes all day on Ladarius Green. I'd say 50% because of his talent, and 50% because aside from Antonio Brown, none of these other guys have elevated and separated themselves. You know, Wheaton's hurt. You know, Sammy Coates has got the 2 bad fingers, so he's not really, he drops the ball when his fingers are healthy. So he's not, you know, emerging like he was early in the year. And then Eli Rogers is, you know, he shows flashes, but he hasn't been consistent enough. So you have Le'Veon and you have Antonio Brown, but Ben's looking for a reliable, you know, third guy he can get the ball to, because they do involve Le'Veon in the pass game a lot. But I think he saw last week because he's had a decent rapport with Jesse James this year, but Jesse James, where he's limited, Ladarius Green isn't. So if Green's finally healthy, and moving the way he was last week, I'm yes all day on the Ladarius Green.
So let's do a little bit of dealer's choice here. I'll give you 2 names. You tell me which you'd prefer to play in the first round of the fantasy playoffs. Would you prefer Ladarius Green or Travis Kelce?
Oh boy. I'm gonna go.
I did that on purpose.
I'm going to go Kelce because the defenses, more than anything, seem to not be ready for Thursday night games. So if you have the playoffs, so I'm talking if you're in the playoffs this weekend, I would go Kelce. You got him at home on a Thursday night against Oakland's poor secondary. I'll take that matchup over Ladarius against the Buffalo defense, even though the Buffalo defense is suspect at times. And much better against the run than they are the pass. I still like Kelce's matchup better. But for the long haul, even if you have Kelce, still put that waiver claim in and put Green on your bench and play the matchup each week.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I mean, now, let me ask you about this. Let's see. There's obviously a huge resurgence now for Jimmy Graham. Do you think Jimmy Graham better played than Ladarius Green week to week?
right now I'd say, yeah, he's been consistent week in and week out. Again, I don't care who you have. The only person in the world that would say that you could have that you wouldn't have to go out and pick up Ladarius Green to put on your bench and potentially play matchups would be Rob Gronkowski, but we all know he's not playing. So,
I don't care what tight end
you have. If you're high on the waiver wire, I don't think you're going to find much better value at any position than Ladarius Green right now.
Let me ask you one that might be a little bit harder. Let's talk about Greg Olsen. I mean, he has been pretty much horrible over the last four or five games. Ladarius Green at Buffalo or Greg Olsen at home against San Diego?
Oh, I'm going Ladarius Green on that one. I just you can't trust me. I got one team with your boy there, Jeffrey, getting popped for the PEDs, and then in the same league,
yeah.
I also have Kelvin Benjamin going in the tank. I was 9-2 and in first place all year long, and I just fell out and missed my bye week and have to play in the first round of playoffs because of those two. So I'm staying away from anything at Carolina right now if I can.
All right. Okay, so you look like you're all in on Ladarius Green. I'm all in on Ladarius Green. I'm a little more cautious this week, but I do think he has amazing upside. So if you need to swing for the fences, I can't see a better option on the waivers for a tight end, particularly a position that has been really lacking this year in fantasy football. There really, aside from Gronkowski, as you mentioned, there really was no sure things out there. Although Jimmy Graham, I think, is coming up and is doing relatively well as of late. All right, so let's go ahead and turn to the last person that I want to talk about, and then we're going to turn it over to a couple other things, and that is Justin Forsett. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on Justin Forsett because he's really not that good. But keep in mind, in 2014 for Baltimore as their lead back, he did total 1,266 yards, 8 touchdowns. He had 500-plus performances, 100-plus yard performances that year. He was really solid. He was really, really solid. He added another 263 receiving yards there. I mean, that is a good, good season. Now, obviously, 2015 was not a good season, and this year he has been terrible and has been kind of floating around between everybody. But what do you think about Justin Forsett now being picked up by the Denver Broncos? Is he worth a roster spot on your fantasy football team?
Cue up the GIF of Michael Scott screaming no. Because I could not be more out on Justin Forsett. So absolutely a million times no.
Okay. So you don't think – because Devontae Booker has been no great shakes either. I mean, they don't really have much outside of Devontae Booker because for a while they were trying to play Capri Bibbs, but now Capri Bibbs is injured and is on injured reserve with a high ankle sprain. So he's done for the season. So really all they got is Justin Forsett out there. You don't think he can have some value in deeper leagues?
Who has run well for the Denver Broncos this year?
Yeah, that would be I would say Capri Bibbs if you actually had a full set of carries, but other than that, nobody.
Right. So my thought is you got average at best quarterback play. You don't have Peyton Manning out there checking you into the right run play. So you have defenses stacking 8 in the box. I bit on the Devontae Booker move for a while, but I'm done with Denver running backs at least until next year.
Okay, all right, so then we're out in that one. Any other fantasy football pickups you want to mention, Ryan?
Yeah, so I don't have anybody as low owned percentage as you, but I had a couple guys that were above the 50% mark that if they're somehow still available in your league to look at, that might be slept on just because of where they play. Owned in 80% of leagues, but if Rishard Matthews is still available, despite having a pretty crappy matchup against Denver this week, he's solid for a 10 to 20 point game every week. Kenny Britt's only owned in 60% of leagues, and he's usually good for 3 or 4 catches, 30 yards, and one of them every week somehow seems to be a touchdown. And then Cameron Brate, if you're looking for another tight end that's really kind of emerging. Offense is kind of emerging right now. It Brate's owned in 73%. So those guys are owned in a lot of leagues. Pretty much all of them are not owned in a quarter of the leagues in Yahoo. So.
Yeah, no, I was in on Cameron Brate for a while. He is fantastic. He is definitely something else. He's actually what we thought Austin Seferian Jenkins was going to be in that system in Tampa Bay until he decided to check out, make bad life decisions and get kicked off the team. So, honestly, I think I'm all aboard on that one. I love that. I love that call. And if he is available, I would play him over Ladarius Green for sure. In fact, I would probably play Cameron Brate over everybody except for maybe Jimmy Graham and Travis Kelce at this point.
Agreed.
Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to our to the last segment here, and that's because we want to get everybody ready for their fantasy football playoffs, which hopefully you're all in right now, and that is the handcuffing your stud running backs, which I think is incredibly important. You know, it's not time to take chances. You obviously have a great lineup that's gotten you here, so you got to keep riding it, but some of your key components may go down due to injury. You never know what's going to happen, and suspension could happen, so you want to make sure you have somebody to take its place. I'm going to name off a bunch of these. You just tell me, Ryan, after we're done, which one of them pop out as someone you're really going to be looking for. So for David Johnson, I'd say Andre Ellington. For Ezekiel Elliott, I'm looking at Alfred Morris as the handcuff. Le'Veon Bell, as long as D'Angelo Williams comes back from his injury, which appears today that he will be practicing this week, then I would take D'Angelo Williams. LeSean McCoy, I like Mike Gillisley as his backup. All these guys, are, by the way, are available in more than 50% of leagues. DeMarco Murray, Derrick Henry, still out there in 55% of leagues. I think he needs to be picked up even if you don't have DeMarco Murray. Melvin Gordon, Kenneth Farrow looks really interesting. He's available basically in all leagues. Jay Ajayi, he's being run into the ground. Damian Williams has had some sparks during the season. I think he could be good. Lamar Miller, who's looked pretty poor. Alfred Blue, you know, but if you need somebody, he is going to be a starting running back in the NFL if Lamar Miller goes down. So if all those handcuffs, any of those really pop out as guys that you're going to really run to the waiver wire to pick up, either with the stud running back on your bench or without?
Yeah, the only three I would bother making a move on would be the three guys who, you know, could go down with an injury at any moment given their history. So, you know, Le'Veon gets hurt a fair amount, so I would pick up Williams. LeSean McCoy is always one play away from some other injury. He's had a couple moments this year where I think we all thought, oh, here we go again. And somehow he's bounced back, but that luck's bound to run out. So, and I've liked the spark Gillisley has had when he's come in. And then Lamar Miller, you know, I'm no Alfred Blue fan, but if he ends up being the starter, then, you know, at least you have somebody you can potentially play in a flex role. So those would be the three that I would really honestly look at.
Yeah, no, I like that, by the way, Mike Gillisley a lot. I really think that he has a lot of value even with LeSean McCoy playing because LeSean McCoy is quite injury prone. You know, he's just one jump cut away from pulling a hamstring, so you never know what's going to happen there. But I do really think that he could have value as a flex play even if you don't have LeSean McCoy because of the fact that he just offers so much. You know, he's so efficient with the carries and touches that he gets when he's on the field. All right, so any other handcuffs you want to mention before we move on to Fantasy MVP of Week 13 and Fantasy Bust of Week 13?
Nope, I would keep it right there.
All right, so let's go ahead and move on to our very last segment for the day, and that is who we think the Fantasy MVP is for Week 13. Let's keep it to Week 13 because, you know, quite frankly, we're going to try and do this every week. It might change from week to week. So what are your thoughts on the Fantasy MVP of Week 13?
Yeah, so for both of them, you know, it is a Week 13 thing, but it's also – based on both, since it's really our first one together, on two guys that have really kind of stayed consistent, either good or bad, all year. So I'll take my week in and week out MVP right now, and again for week 13 as David Johnson, because Mr. Consistent is going to guarantee you 20-plus points a week. He's the only guy that you'll see in even in my standard leagues. I see him projected at 16 points a week, and every week he beats the projection somehow. So yet again, another huge week for DJ there. So I'm going with him.
Yeah, no, I love the call. He's absolutely probably going to be one of my MVPs for the season. But for this week, I am going to go with Jordan Howard, the aforementioned Jordan Howard. The reason being that basically he was undrafted, except for maybe you, Ryan, in the preseason. He was basically undrafted or at least late drafted before some Yahoo decided to convince you to drop him from your fantasy team. But 117 yards,
seven.
Three touchdowns. Right, and he was a great value in round. Basically, it turns out he's a great value from round three forward. 117 yards, three touchdowns on 32 carries. He didn't do much in the receiving game this time around, but wow. I mean, the standard leagues, about 29 fantasy points. For the price you had to pay for him when he was available, which is basically zero, he is definitely my MVP of Week 13. So let's turn to the other side. What about your fantasy bust for Week 13?
Yeah, again, so the same kind of theme again. You know, a guy who had another bad week but has had a lot of bad weeks this year. I will never, ever let Allen Robinson grace one of my fantasy teams again. Unfortunately, he was on four out of five of them this year. And
right.
I just, for whatever reason, can't bring myself to bench him because I know the week that I sit him for Rashard Matthews, Rashard's going to put up five and Robinson's going to finally come out and put up 26.
Right.
So I just, an absolutely infuriating player, a guy who 2 years ago was on pace for 10 touchdowns and 1,000 yards before his, I think it was a knee injury. Last year had 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns and 70 receptions, and this year has just been a bag of crap all season.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that one. And actually, I'm going to go slightly differently because this guy has actually been relatively good most of the season, but was absolutely a killer in a critical Week 13, and that is Drew Brees. I think, you know, we talked about him a little bit, 326 yards, but he had three interceptions, basically absolutely destroying his value. I expected a lot more against the Detroit defense, and he did not pull through. Many people drafted him high. Many people counted on him to get them into the playoffs. If Week 13 was the difference for you, and you started Drew Brees, you're likely been eliminated, and probably don't care about fantasy football anymore for the year. And that's basically what we got for today. So I'm going to go ahead and ring the bell for the entire program, and we'll go ahead and end this particular podcast. But we're going to keep doing this, and we're going to keep helping everybody continue to win in their fantasy playoffs up until championship week in fantasy football, week 16 and week 17. So tune in again next week. We're going to keep you updated on all the waiver wire pickups, all the people we think you should be handcuffing, all the people that we think have been great contributors and real downers during the season, and we'll just keep you updated on all that. So keep tuning in each and every week. Ryan, give us your Twitter handle so people can follow you.
Yeah, and real quick, I do want to plug an article that we're going to have on the site this week. I know we started emailing about this morning, but we will be having our, from the playoff teams, kind of a recap from our fantasy league this year. So make sure you check that out on the website. There you can also read about my meteoric rise from the last 5 weeks, from ninth all the way up to fifth and in the postseason. So,
that's right. Congratulations.
And I'm about to
say congratulations on your playoff run.
It's about to be a walkthrough week for me too. I might as well be on a bye with how easy I'm gonna walk away with it this weekend. So,
I see someone has a little bit too much confidence. That's what I'm thinking right now. Good
four,
plug.
Four
yeah,
to five,
I definitely
we'll do
have that coming
you.
Out. No, go ahead.
Yeah, so I was gonna say. So yeah, my Twitter handle is at Ryan Whitfield NE.
Wow. Podcast coming to a screeching halt here. We're doing really well closing this down. You can follow me at FB Garbage Time. I actually have a waiver wires column that comes out every Sunday night that will help you as well. So we'll get that information out to you. We'll get you to jump on your waiver wire claims. Until next week, enjoy the fantasy football playoffs. We hope that you make it to your next level and tune in again next week so that we can help you help yourself win your fantasy league.
Shut up and sit down. We'll be right back.